Welcome back, everybody, to our continuing four simultaneous podcasts here on Hoops HD. This is our Mountain West preview. If you're looking for the American, go up two. If you're for the A-10, go up one. For the West Coast, right below us. Any other conference, season previews tab is way up at the top of the page. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Tatel. I can't even talk anymore. John Tytel, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, John Salica below me, David Griggs below me. And we're talking a little Mountain West hoops here, a conference that is just absolutely amazing in the NCAA tournament. So much success. Rocco, San Diego State in the top 25. They've been the class of the league for many years. They probably are this year. But, you know, Brian Dutcher is now 0-3 in NCAA tournament games.
Yeah, I mean, last year, heartbreaker, I think overtime loss to Creighton. Year before, just completely embarrassed and stymied by the Syracuse zone. But yeah, I mean, every year is a little bit different team. You know, I think the big splash the Aztecs made over the offseason, besides the fact that Mensah and Bradley both came back, both studs, is getting Darian Trammell from Seattle U, who was basically the WAC player of the year last year. Obviously, I'm a Seattle guy. I got to watch him a lot. And I mean, he's going to fit in beautifully. You still got Lamont Butler there. It's a great, great roster on paper. Now, again, you know, one of the things San Diego State's going to have to stay focused on the second half of the year is keeping their competitive edge up, because the Mountain West is one of the most brutal conferences travel wise. I think we say this every year, where it truly is, the name is correct. There's a West part of the conference and a Mountain part of the conference. And when you're a team from the West and you travel to the mountains, weird things happen and losses are going to happen. So, you know, San Diego State's going to have to be prepared for that. And they're going to have to get that chip back on their shoulder in March, because chances are pretty good. I think they'll do pretty well in the Maui tournament. I think they'll do pretty well in their big matchups that they have set up with St. Mary's and a couple others. So, yeah, I think that's going to be their real test, is getting through January and February.
Rocco, you're a bracket, a selection committee guessing expert, as is John Tytel. You brought up an interesting point. It is brutal when you have to go to the front range. Why, you know, does the committee just sort of toss those losses out just because it's so hard to win on the front range?
I don't know if they're tossed out. I just think they're treated like any other road loss. And I think sometimes Mountain West team might get a little short end of the stick, because the data does support a little bit more of a disadvantage when you are in altitude, especially if you're a team that isn't coming from altitude. And so, you know, in college basketball, out of any sport in collegiate athletics, there's a bigger home court advantage than any other sport. And when you add the altitude to it, it's even crazier. And this league deals with it the most, especially in the at-large bid conversation. So I think it's something that needs to be brought up more. I mean, and who knows how much they talk about it. But I think in general, when you're comparing teams, you're not usually going that far unless it's the last four teams in or something like that.
Yeah, and you know, we at Hoops HD, we love the front range.
We yes, love we the front range and the beehive. We'll
get to it. And the beehive, we love the beehive.
But Tytel, he's talking about altitude, and we know nobody is higher than Wyoming. How about those Wyoming Cowboys this year?
I would argue the Stonehill Stoners are a little higher, but I see your point. Oh. Thank you. Wyoming is going to be good again, and the key is going to be the big man, Graham E.K., graduated high school at age 17 after tearing not just his anterior collateral ligament, not just his lateral collateral ligament, but also his medial collateral ligament, the trifecta, as it were. And all he does is work his butt off and get back to an elite level. Last year, he was one of three players in the nation with 19.5 points a game and 9.5 rebounds a game. Sounds like conference player of the year material, right? Au contraire, mon frère. He was not even voted to the first team all-conference by the coaches last year. Second team. Talk about another slap in the face, much like Kendrick Davis, as we talked about in the American. 6'9", with the wingspan 7'5". I expect him to keep on dominating. And for God's sakes, coaches, vote him to the first team this year.
Mm-hmm. Can they get back in the NCAA tournament again?
If you don't like Hunter Maldonado and Graham E.K., I don't know what it takes, Chad. I think they're going to make it back.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely.
Well, yeah, this could be a really special year for Wyoming. NCAA tournament a year ago, 25 total games that they won, and a lot back. Is this a top 25 team by the end of the year? based on how the rankings work.
Yeah, I think so. Personally, you know, you look at their schedule too. I mean, they're playing a ton of neutral games, but they're not really playing any true road games in the non-league. So, you know, they'll have that crack with Dayton. They're going to play Santa Clara in the middle of Utah. They're going to play in an event that they probably are the best team in. So I expect them to win that event. That'll be three wins on a neutral court. So their record's going to get good. And if we all agree they're top two in this league, they'll win the large chunk of their league games too. So yeah, they're going to have a great record.
Yeah, I think they will.
Stalica, Colorado State was in the tournament last year as well. Now David Roddy is gone, but they have Isaiah Stevens back. What about the Rams this year?
Well, Roddy was the one notable guy that there is not going to be coming back. But yeah, you're going to have Stevens. You're going to have Tanji, who's also going to be returning for the Rams. Nico Medved is also one wherever he's been right here. I think Colorado State could be a team to watch, but have another team later on that I think is also going to be returning a lot of experience and could be this year's surprised entrant into the NCAA tournament. Granted, it'll probably be a one and done.
Okay. Well, Griggs, how about Boise State, Leon Rice's team? Could this team make some noise this year?
I think they can. I know that, you know, they lost three of their starters from last year's team, but the pieces they have coming back are really good. I really like Leon Rice as a coach. He's another guy that seems to not always, but usually exceed what the preseason expectations are. It's tough to win at Boise. Not quite as tough as it is to win on the Front Range. And we at Hoops HD, we love the Front Range, but I think they can make quite a bit of noise. They were the first place team a year ago, and I think they're going to be in the mix again. Well, okay, it mixed for second. I don't think there was going to San Diego State.
Tytel, there's very few teams that end the season with a win. I mean, obviously our NCAA tournament champion, but there's a few other teams that do it. One of them was Fresno State winning the basketball classic last year and four starters back. And you see anything from Fresno this year?
I wish that one of those starters was Orlando. Was named Orlando Robinson because he was the heart, if not the heart and soul, he was the big man in the middle who did a little of everything. But I got to talk to Justin Hudson during the MWC media day, and such a nice guy. He had just celebrated a birthday and another great pedigree working for Steve Fisher with the Aztecs. When he played at Bakersfield, he won back-to-back national titles. So certainly nice to end your season with a win, as you said. But when you're missing a guy like Robinson, there's only so many pieces that you can bring back, and they're missing the big piece. But I think they're going to be on the outside looking. And it'd be great if they can go back and win the TBC yet again, but I don't know if that's something they'd be proud of or not.
Rocco, are they going to win the TBC again? Is that about all we see out of Fresno?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty close with these guys too, and like I do know they're going to enter the year with a couple guys down. Probably not supposed to share who yet, but that's going to be a tough way to start because they open with a pretty tough schedule. They'll host San Francisco early on. They're going to play North Texas early on. They're going to be in the Wooden where they play Washington, and you know those are the kinds of games they would need everybody. But I will say Anthony Holland's the glue, 43% 3-point shooter. He barely makes any mistakes. Keeps everybody together. They're a lot of fun to watch. I was frustrated watching them lose so many close games last year because that really was the difference between them being a tournament team or not. But we'll see what they can do this year. Obviously, the replacing O is going to be a little too much to ask, but they brought in Isaiah Moore to try to do that. So we'll see what happens.
Slicka, I think you have a dark horse team here coached by Richard Pitino. Am I correct?
That is correct. I mean, I see Tytel's team with four starters, but I'll give you a team that actually going to have five starters in the New Mexico Lobos right here. But if we're talking about some of the big gun is going to be Jamal Mashburn Jr., who actually started with Pitino back at Minnesota. But you also add in KJ Jenkins and Jalen House. And if we're looking at some of the notable games that the Lobos are going to have this year, they go to SMU, they go to St. Mary's. They also have their annual Land of Enchantment series with New Mexico State that they play twice a year. Why is New Mexico not in the Front Range again? Are they too low?
Because they're behind it. They're in the back range.
Yeah, the back range. Okay.
And we at Hoops HD hate the back rate. We hate the back rate.
I had a serious question, but I hesitate to ask it now because we're just so far off the rip.
Go ahead. Somebody say something. Greg, say something. Right.
Okay, so this is I granted they have a lot of experience, but does how poorly they played, particularly on the road last year, Stalica, give you any pause, or are you still a believer in them?
I'll add to that also, Stalica. Their defense was atrocious last year too. So, but go ahead.
Well, I'm sure they were probably just looking to outscore other teams. I mean, that's probably the other downside of all five starters coming back, is that you're going to have the same guys returning from a team that was not so good on one end of the floor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I do have New Mexico as a team that I have, you know, possibly could toe the bubble. I don't see them as a tournament team, but I could be wrong. Is there anybody else, Rocco, that we have not discussed who might a bubblish type team?
Oh, I believe there is. I believe there is.
I'll introduce UNLV to the table. Okay. And, you know, you look at their roster, and it's just loaded with seniors and fifth-year guys. Eli Parquet comes over from Colorado. EJ Harkless comes in from Oklahoma, where he was pretty highly recruited out of the portal, had a lot of Power 5 teams after him. UNLV lands him. I do think some of these shooting numbers need to come up. A lot of these guys are low 30% from three. But I think, you know, I like what's going on with Kruger and his dad advising him with the coaching. You know, last year they started slow. They finished pretty strong. They actually finished ahead of Wyoming in the league standings, got the 4 seed in the Mountain West tournament. And there's some stuff to build on with that. A lot of newcomers, they did the same formula last year. So we'll see, you know, I think they're going to be right in the middle of all these teams we've just discussed.
Okay. Keitel. Is Nevada regretting the 10-year contract they gave Steve Alford yet?
Somebody asked Alford about that on the
really.
I mean, it's a fair question, I think, just because it's such a unique deal. I mean, who gets a 10-year deal these days? And he made it sound like it was not something where he and his agent were like demanding it, and that just it was presented to him by the school. And like, to be fair, like he's won over 600 games, and he's won national championship back in '87. And he knows how to score and everything. Yeah. But, yeah, it's a long contract. And he does bring in some guys like Jared Lucas from Oregon State and Hunter McIntosh from Elon. But if your question is it too long a contract? It seems like it's too long a contract.
Yeah. Stalica, Ryan Odom at Utah State, still a rebuilding job this year?
Well, I just want to get back to Tytel's comment. Isn't bringing a player in from Oregon State potentially a terminable offense in that contract? Now, as far as Ryan Odom, I mean, Utah State has certainly been towards the top half of the conference in recent years, but I still think they got quite a bit of reloading they're going to need to do.
Griggs.
Yes.
Joe Scott over at Air Force.
Oh, at Air Force.
Yeah, I mean, this is his second tour around here. He's a couple of years into it. Do you think he can rebuild it like he did that first time?
No. what he did the first time was utterly remarkable, because Air Force had not even – I mean, they'd never been within 100 miles of the NCAA tournament, at least not that I could remember. I don't know how he did it. I don't know why he fell so flat. Everything he tried to do after that, including returning to Air Force.
That's all the teams in this league.
We've got another one, and this is this is a team.
Griggs, I'm sorry, we're really out of time here. Okay, go ahead.
When you look at this team, last year they won more games as a program than they had in the last 5 or 6 years. They had their best KenPom finish in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, the trajectory is going upward. I'm surprised it's kind of taking so long, but again, I've done a little bit of research, and in Tim Miles's career, I counted he's lost 2 games that were not actually rigged or that were officiated fairly.
Okay. In all seriousness, Rocco, San Jose State, at least they kept Omari Moore around, but I think it's a long season. Don't, to you.
Yeah, I mean, reality says that. I mean, Amari Moore and Trey Anderson are both like 40% plus deep shooters, and Alvaro Cardenas puts on a show as a Spanish point guard. He could make a nice freshman to sophomore leap, quite honestly. But I think even San Jose State getting inside the top 300 was a nice achievement last year. This year, you know, probably shooting for top 225 or so, but that's still not competing with the bulk of the league. But maybe pull off a couple more upsets, get up to like four or five league wins is perhaps realistic.
Yeah, that's a it's a tough goings there. But at least, you know what, when it comes to San Jose State, at least they have this here, if I get the screen share to work, they have the most unique, one of the most unique courts, and I think god awful courts in the country. Yes, it glows in the dark.
But if you look to the left, you can't see it because there's no stands yet. They actually have a bar behind that basket now, and that's going to bring all the fans in. It worked at the end of last season, believe me. Yeah. So glow-in-the-dark basketball with, you know, partiers courtside. It should be fun.
Oh, I will be there at the bar.
You will.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, though, I want to run through each of you with the questions here. Who's going to win the league? How many bids? Any other thoughts? Tytel, why don't we start with you?
Your champion are the San Diego State Aztecs. It might not be close. I think it'll be close, but it might not be if they play to their potential. They lost, like, I think their last four losses last year were all like by 1 point. And I asked Coach Dutcher about it at media day, like, do you need to work on defensive intensity or like not turning the ball over? And he smiles. He's like, I think our defense is okay. We don't need to work on that. And he's right. As far as how many make it, I think that Colorado State takes a step back without Roddy. Every single question was about Roddy. I think Wyoming makes it, like I said earlier. Utah and Boise, right on the bubble. I'll set the over-under at 3.5. I'll go under with 3. As far as a fun fact to finish up on, I think I'm going to go with Hunter Maldonado, the other guy from Wyoming who we didn't mention too much earlier because it is Grammy K's world. But when Hunter Maldonado is playing great, like he did against Indiana in the tournament, 21 points, 8 of 16 shooting from the field. Sadly, when he's not playing great, as he did against Indiana in the tournament, 10 turnovers. You talk about what guys need to work on over the summer. Some work on their shooting, some work on whatever, their health. Hold on to the ball, Hunter, and you're going to be just fine.
All right. Salika.
Well, I think I've given you one taste as far as who I'm going to be including in my three teams for the Mountain West right here. I'll say San Diego State probably wins the regular season title. I'll say Wyoming and New Mexico are the other teams that wind up getting in. With, I would probably say New Mexico could be the team that potentially gets the auto bid as well as a ticket to ConExpo ConAGG 2022.
Yeah, I'm personally, you know, I'm going to go lower that. I'm only going two bids. I'm going San Diego State and Wyoming. I think that these other teams we've been discussing, like Boise, Colorado State, New Mexico, etc., they might be hanging around the bubble. I just have a feeling that they may all just fall short this year. Rocco, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Chad, I'm somehow landing with two. It's hard to believe because I do think there's still like 7, 8, 9 deep programs that are all capable of rising up to the top two. But those are the two obvious ones, San Diego State and Wyoming. I think it would take a lot to keep them out this year. But I actually have Utah State third. And when you asked me to pick a team, I thought we had already discussed them. So sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. But, I was looking at them at much as well, but go ahead. Give us a couple few seconds on Utah State.
Utah State's just, I mean, a lot of the same guys back. Obviously they lose Justin Bean, who was a big time all conference player. But they've got a lot of continuity within the staff. Tons of experience. So I just think I respect Ryan Odom as a coach. He had last year was his first year up there to try to start figuring things out. They have an amazing home court advantage. So I'm looking for them to maybe get third. The only reason I'm not in there with Colorado State is because Isaiah Stevens will miss at least a month. So he's trying to come back by December. But, you know, I think Colorado State's a team. They get it rolling by conference play. They could actually be a bid stealer. Con AXPG.
Okay, for clarification, because Chad doesn't have the conference tournaments up yet, is the tournament a week early again this year?
No, they didn't have that last year. Yeah.
Griggs, you want to finish us off here with your champion number of bids? And
yeah, I'm going with two, and it's the same two for a lot of the reasons, San Diego State, Wyoming. But I'm actually going with Wyoming to win the league. I think that it's really hard to win there. I could see them running the table in conference play at home, maybe all season long. And I just call it a hunch. I just think this is going to be a special year for the Cowboys. I think they're going to end the season in the top 25, maybe in the top half of the bracket. It wouldn't shock me to see San Diego State there as well. So, but after those two, I think it's a big drop off. You have two teams wearing white in a round of 64, and then the third place team, whoever it ends up being, is in the NIT.
Yep, a huge drop all the way to San Jose State.
San Jose State is going to win the national championship. At the pace they're on, when you keep doubling your win total from year to year to year like he's done, I mean, pretty soon we're on the verge of a UCLA type.
When Ron Hunter took over Tulane, they were last place. So yeah. Give it 3 years. Give it 3 years. Yeah.
3 years. On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us for the Mountain West preview. Again, the American and the A-10 are up top, West Coast down below. All the rest of the conferences in the season preview tab. But for John Tytel, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, John Salica, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll talk to you again in a few more seconds on that final button down below, the West Coast Conference.